Don't have much time, so we're going to work through it today. And it is called The Journey to the Nativity. Journey to the Nativity doesn't sound like a revolutionary title, and there'll be subtitles in each of these Sundays that we talk about. It's something that I took some writing into and the Holy Spirit and praying about, but then also integrating a ministry called Skit Guys, where they have something very similar, some videos. So I wanted to incorporate that with what we're going to do this Sunday and the next two Sundays under the anthem of the Journey to the Nativity. But in my prayer time, too, I want to... If we can have this Christmas different than the last Christmas, in a good way. So when we say the word nativity, we know, I mean, there's baby Jesus, right? There's baby Jesus, and the nativity is a space that God chose to revolutionize his plan. It's a space that God chose to bring a new beginning of something, a genesis to something. And we can't take that lightly. So, journey to the nativity in that space, the Greek word, I think, is kairos, K-I-R-O-S. And that means, new means a new nature, a new quality of something that was different than before. So, something happened at the nativity. I know we know that up here, but do we know that here? We just sang Silent Night. Do we know what happened at the nativity? The title for today under the Journey to the Nativity is waiting. Such a popular term. Waiting. Wait. No matter how old we may get and wiser we may get, waiting is not a word we run to in love in our life, right? And it's just the irony that this did not work out, only the Holy Spirit. But John Waller wrote a very nice song called Waiting. And we'll probably hear that lately. We didn't make this happen. Just the Holy Spirit did this. So... But waiting, it's so important. You've just experienced silence. Some young mothers say, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. My wife says, I didn't know he could do that. Silence. Not just verbal silence, but even other types of silence in your life. See, when waiting is happening, there's usually a symptom of silence not far behind. You see, for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and most of us know this, it was silence. God was not speaking at all. Not speaking at all. Today we're going to talk about silence, but in the essence of sometimes there's a preparation in silence. There certainly can be a faith growing in silence if we see the opportunity. And then there's usually impact in silence because God does not do something for nothing. Preparation in silence. We may think that silence to you, where God is not speaking to you, is he listening to you? Is he even there? Our soon coming king, who was born on the day on what we're going to celebrate, John 5:17 says, my Father is always working, and so am I. We sang a song earlier, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light. And boy, do we need light in the darkness. My God, that is who we are. But one of the words in there is saying, even when you don't, it doesn't seem that you are working, you never stop. So from the Master, from our soon coming King, the birth of Christ, he's told a bunch of Pharisees, wait a minute, my Father is always working, and so am I, and so am I. During those 400 years of silence without God, things were working. Things were moving. You had the Greek language becoming more known to the known world. It was spreading. Why is that so important? So we could preach the gospel in an understanding, connecting way. Rome and many smaller nations were beginning to make roads throughout those known areas. Why does that make sense? Why is it so important to us? So the apostles could walk on it when they bring the good news to people. See, God can use anything he wants for his purpose, pretty much. And we need to understand, and this is what Paul said in Romans 5, 6. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Just the right time. Pastor Ray had a great message last week about being in the right place at the right time. And it's so important. But sometimes when you're in that right place, you're waiting. And it's silent. You may hear ancillary noises, but you're still waiting for God. And may I pose to you that some of that waiting is intentional by God for preparation for what he has for you next. You got to think some of even the Jewish folks and the people that were following God and had the heart of God, they were clinging to scriptures like this, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. Because they didn't understand the silence, but they had to understand this. Maybe it was in the Torah when they heard it. They heard, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Sometimes in our preparation, where we're just getting silence in our lives, we want answers. We want things. We need instant gratification, direction for the next 10 years of our life, let alone one. God might be preparing something for you. You see, I'm not going to get into that yet. Preparation is so important, and it's painful at times. Pastor Ray talked about there's even a growth part that can happen during being at the right place at the right time. See, God knows what his will is for your life and where you are in walking that will out. But we can see through our own perspective at times and not see the big picture. So many people thought that are anointed of God and want to do this and that and create a worldwide ministry, but yet there was no maturity to sustain that. And they fall on their feet and say, God, I was following you. Brother Kenneth Hagin has said this, I'd rather be behind God than way out in front of him. And that's true in your personal life. So here you had a nation of Israel the citizens of Rome. There's no prophet, there's no Abraham, there's no Moses, there's nobody proclaiming the word of God, of what God wants to say to people in front of them right now. It's just silence. Maybe that silence, and we started to learn, is because God is preparing people's wills to get lined up to his will. See, we know this. God will never violate his will. Excuse me, will never violate it. He won't. But he'll never violate your will in most cases. So he has to move people to understand his will to get into, to surrender their will to his will, to get people lined up as what we would call all ducks in a row, correct? So that has to go on too. But God was making preparation for our soon birth of our soon coming king. But there was silence. Silence. I would encourage you in your silence, if you're not hearing from God right now, what did he tell you to do last? Or if that's not it, is it an opportunity to grow more in certain areas? These are exciting things, right? Because it's waiting. It's all the silence. Preparation is so important. And it usually happens when there's waiting on God. Another thing, the faith that can grow during silence. The patron saint, Francis Assisi, many great quotes. One of the ones I like most is, always be preaching the gospel I'm paraphrasing. Always be preaching the gospel, and when needed, use words. Francis Assisi, Italian priest, said this: Lord, help me to live this day quietly, easy to lean on thy great strength, trustfully, respectfully, to wait for the unfolding of thy will, patiently, to meet others, peacefully, joyous, to face tomorrow confidently and courageous. The key in there, that quote is, to waiting for your will to unfold in my daily life. Daily life. We're Faith Christian Center. We know about faith. It's so important. But our faith can grow during these silent times in our lives. Certainly as there was that silence in 400 years before the birth of Jesus. You have later, Paul penned this great scripture that we know so well. Hebrews 11, 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The less we hear, the less we see, the more faith we need. Not rocket science. God will never leave us or forsake us. So that's your anchor faith in everything. That's his promises that every promise comes out of. Faith thrives in the absence of evidence, but always in the hope of expectation and as its foundation. I want to say that one more time. I know we know this. Faith thrives in the absence of evidence, but in the hope of the expectation, which is its foundation. That's scriptural, right? So when we don't have evidence, where's your faith? In the time of silence, we need to know where our faith is. Has God abandoned you? Has God left you? You had the knowns of the worlds of that time after 400 years of the Old Testament. People wondered, did God leave us? But you've got to believe that some of those God-fearing men that came from Abraham, Moses, and the generation upon generation were resting in their faith that God still hears their voice. And how they would pass that on to their generation, leading up to the point of when our Messiah was born, to grow their faith. Parents, well, you know this, but do you know it? It's so important, and I got to remind myself, to impart our faith into our kids, to make it last a generation. Yes, the kids need to stand alone on their own and accept Christ into their life and follow him as Savior and Lord on their own. But we, as an example, as parents, need to share what faith can do, even in the silence of things. Even in the silence of things. There had been no fresh prophets, so they're just reading the Torah while this silence is going before the birth of Jesus. You got to think of Psalm 53, 3 through 4, which was a powerful scripture that David wrote that people were clinging on to because they had not heard the voice of the Lord at all. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust the God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Clinging on to their faith, clinging on to their faith. In a personal testimony, I think after the second year I was serving here at Faith Christian Center and helping out in different capacities, as most of us do when we're on staff, wearing many hats, which is great, I was getting daily manna from the Holy Spirit daily in my prayer time, but I started asking questions. Well, what does 3 to 4 years look like if I'm serving here? Pastor was not on my radar, nor did I want it. Can I be vulnerable? We're vulnerable in this room.
Yes.
But it was silence when I would ask that question. Silence. So eventually, about year 3 into what I was doing serving here, one day it was praying right down in here, and I heard just the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the normal daily manna. It was saying this: whatever's in front of you, surrender it to my will, and then you are in my will. Whatever's in front of you, what are you serving right now? Don't think of years down the road. What's in front of you right now? Surrender it to my will, and then you are in my will. So it wasn't the answer that, imagine if he said you're going to be a pastor in year two. Can I continue my vulnerability? I mean, I'm honored. This is great. We have enough confirmation that this is where I need to be, in front of your God's people, yourself. But imagine if I knew that too early. I would probably begin to self-promote my... Can we be human for a minute?
Yes.
I'd probably begin to self-promote myself. And what we self-promote, we have to self-sustain. And that doesn't last too long. We get exhausted. That's tiring over time. So, but there was silence, and then I finally heard that. And it wasn't really the answer I wanted. Surrender. We don't like that first sentence word right there. And then surrender it to my will. And again, as you know, we've changed our prayer life, at least for me this year and the beginning of the year before. Lord, I can quote scriptures, I can pray over things, we can claim and speak life to things, and those are powerful. But the beginning of every prayer that I need to have, or at least, gosh forbid, at the end of every prayer, has to say, your will be done. That's what Jesus prayed that we need to learn. So if I can surrender it to your will, whatever's in front of me now, then I know I'll be in his will. I didn't like it at the time, but it was beautiful now. It sounds good now. Let's talk about the impact of silence. So we just talked about preparation in silence. And I know we're integrating the journey to the nativity also into you and I in 2024, about to go into 2025. We're kind of blending in these messages. But we learned about the preparation that's so important to look for that. The faith we just talked about, that you need to grow in that in the silence. But let me just side note. I mean, silence, I was silent. I couldn't do it more than, that was probably a minute when we opened this message up. It felt like 10 minutes to me. We're not inherently liking silence. I know young mothers, amen, hallelujah, that's great. But most of us are not good in silence. We're learning to, as a church body, during our service, to maybe be silent sometimes. Because maybe God wants to speak. If he doesn't want to speak, maybe he wants to grow your faith. Maybe he's going to teach you something in preparation of something. And what we're going to learn, we're just also maybe he's leading us to a big impact of something. But it's all coming out of silence and waiting on the Lord. If we don't learn to rest in silence, we may ruin our destiny and where God's really wanting to take us sometimes. Because we begin to talk about what we think should happen. We're not resting in the silence of what God wants to tell you or mold you or do. That he wants you to follow his will. It's so important. We have technology. We have everything speaking at us every minute of the day. How do we get to silence? Prayer closet is one we've heard. But you need to make sure, even, I don't want to be sacrilegious, but even reading the Word of God, and we're learning to digest, not just read this, right? But even reading the Word of God, you have to take a moment, and some of that silence is to digest it. Holy Spirit, speak this living word to me. Because if I just read it, by stripes I'm healed, and then go, okay, get my coffee. We haven't been silent. We haven't done anything for him to speak. God is a relational God. He wants this two-way street. But some of it is for us to be silent so we can finally hear him. Finally hear him. And it can be tough, certainly with the holidays, with everything going on. We're busy, we've got pressures, we talked about that before. But make sure you're finding silence sometimes, because that's when God wants to work. Amen. So impact of silence. We remember, we were all kids, right? Yeah. So we remember the Advent calendar, and especially the ones where it'd be candy in it, you know, it'd be in December 1st, and you're anticipating until you get to December 25th, and taking the candy every morning. I mean, I was into it. Maybe you might have been not, or but whatever. It's sugar. And we're all grown adults. December 25th is probably not the actual birth date of Jesus.
Right.
okay? But this is a wonderful time of year to certainly celebrate Jesus. The other thing that's no such thing as is a Christian that should be fearing physical death. See, it was a little play on words, though. I thought you were going to say there was no such thing as sin, but no, I want to impart that to you. I know I'm jumping around right now, but for somebody, as Christ followers, you really should not have we just sang about fear, Zeke and John, a fear of death. And maybe sometimes in the silence we're talking about, you can have the Holy Spirit minister to you and comfort you and lead you and guide you in that truth of why you shouldn't. That's a whole other message. But we shouldn't. I'm not running to the graveyard. But it's just the beginning of something new, right? So impact, let's talk about impact. Here's one of the most powerful scriptures, getting back to anticipation and knowing that there's an impact in this silence of 400 years before the New Testament, John 1:14. This is so powerful. So the Word became human. We know that as Jesus, and made his home among us. The Message translation says moved into the neighborhood. That's pretty close to your front door. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father and the Son. That is the impact of that silence when the nativity scene unfolded and God placed himself in flesh in that manger. In that manger. This was the climax. This manger scene was the climax of God's redemption plan, a movement that would change everything. I know we know it up here, but does we know it up in your heart, in your soul? Anyone who had a child, we know this, have kids, certainly husbands, and your wife is in a delivery room. There's that anticipation of seeing a new child. There may be silence at times in that. You may not be silent. You may be pacing and stressing out and drinking too much coffee. But there's an anticipation. So we have to understand, back to John 1:4, so the Word became flesh. Now things are breaking its silence. There's impact here of those 400 years. Becoming a baby in a manger. This nativity, the Word, is new. And I would ask you this Christmas season, what is becoming new in you in this nativity? Is it just, and this is beautiful. Jesus was a baby, but he's our Savior, our Lord, and soon coming King. What's new in you about those facts of truth and life? Can it come out during this Christmas season because God took a space and nativity and basically made AD from BC from AD at that point, all in that nativity? What has been a change in you, no matter where you are, no matter where you are? Paul talks and getting us in 2024 right here in Romans 8:22 and 23. And we know this one, but it says, we know that all creation has groaning as it's in its pain of childbirth right up to its present time. And we believe also groaning, even though we have the Holy Spirit was within us and a foretaste of future glory, we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us a full and adopted children, including the new bodies, he has promised. So Paul is saying here, we're just talking about the silence of 400 years breaking at the nativity. Paul is saying, we have another impact coming soon. You see, Jesus, resoundingly in the 400 years of silence, he didn't just come to pay for our sins. He just didn't come to repair our relationship with God. These are important. He set in motion the plan that would eventually affect everything we know and he created originally. And we're not there yet. So we should have in our silence, maybe if you feel God's not speaking to you, in our silence that there is some impact going to happen very soon for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. Comforting words that we can hold on to that many people of faith during those 400 years held on to in Lamentations 3, 25 through 26. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Salvation of the Lord. Jesus reminds us that God's communication to the nativity was all undergirth, tied it in, anchored in love for you and I. And that's it. It was love. And that impact on that day of a child being born created a trajectory of what we're anticipating for another impact to happen soon. Of Christ coming back. The soon coming King. The soon coming King. So I would encourage you, if you're in a place that you're not hearing from God, you've petitioned prayers, you've read how Jesus told you how to pray, and you're not hearing anything, just like that 400 years of silence that much of the world had before the nativity scene, God is at work. He is at work. Even better, He knows where you are right now. He knows where you are. Can we play that video?
Sometimes waiting on God is like trying to find cell reception in the middle of nowhere. No bars. That's infuriating. I mean, look at this place. You'd think they'd have better reception out here. Hello? Hello? Is that snow? Oh, goody. Or maybe that word from God is like waiting on a text reply. The worst. It's those three little dots. All I needed was a quick response, but they just keep going and going and going. What are you doing? Are you recapping the Count of Monte Cristo? I just need an answer. Is it cell phone coverage? Is it me personally? Is it you? Is it me? I don't know.
Answer me!
Or maybe waiting on God is like trying to get reception in an underground tunnel. Over 2,000 years ago, God's people were also waiting. They were literally for hundreds of years waiting for God to give them a message, an answer. Previously, God found ways to communicate, whether it be a burning bush, a pillar of fire, prophets and kings, and now nothing. It was like they knew He was there, but there was like a lost connection, you know? Have you ever felt like that? Deafening silence in your hour of need. And even in that silence, with only three little dots to hold on to and one bar of hope, we are reminded why we celebrate Christmas. For unto us a child is born, our Messiah. And do you know what that means for us? And He will never leave you.
Psalm 27, 13 through 14. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave, be courageous. Yes, wait patiently on the Lord. On the Lord. And again, if you're in a position where you haven't heard from God lately, He knows where you are. Is there preparation for you? Is this an opportunity to grow your faith? And maybe there's impact around the corner to transfer your life into the image of what Christ is in the fullness of Christ. But we just may need some silence before that happens. Silence before that happens. Heavenly Father, I just pray for today and that, Lord, we just bless us as we enter into this Christmas season. And Lord, you know where we are. And if there are times where we feel like we're not hearing from you, A, do we need to go back to what we heard last from you? Or B, do we need to lean in even more? Is this a point where you're giving us preparation to something? Or growing our faith? Or is impact just around the bend to impact our lives? It may be all three in one at some times. Because you are a faithful God that loves us so very much. Lord, thank you for coming in the flesh, being born in this nativity of something new and born to change our nature from old to new to follow you, Lord. During this Christmas season, Lord, let this be special in the sense that you know that you are with us, Emmanuel, God with us, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.